good that we're able to come here tonight and worship God and to study the Word of God together. We're going to look this evening at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is in a kind of a pivotal way from the birth of Jesus into Jesus being a grown man in the flesh. Chapter 2 gives us some things about Jesus that we wouldn't know otherwise because it's not found anywhere else in the Bible. And some of the instances that happened during the time Jesus was, after he was born and when he was growing up. Well, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, after Jesus was born, you'll find it says in chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God." Now we'll get on a moment to what he was going to talk about Jesus in the vision that he saw from God. But Joseph and Mary, of course, went to Jerusalem to fulfill the requirement of the law of Moses. Now, if you go back to Deuteronomy and Leviticus about what was to be done with a newborn child, especially the firstborn male child was to be dedicated to the Lord. And they lived under the law. They were faithful to it. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons." So that's what the law required. And it's interesting because the turtle doves or the two young pigeons were the responsibility of the offering for poor people. Now, there was different offerings that were to be made at that time. If someone was much wealthier or something, there was more of a sacrifice that was required of them. And so Joseph and Mary, being poor in this world's goods, offered either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons as the sacrifice for Jesus and his purification and his dedication to God. And so they fulfilled the law. They lived under the law of Moses, and they were faithful to it. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, it says there of Joseph, it says, "Joseph being a just man." Joseph was a descendant of King David. So therefore, he was in the line of the kings, just as God promised that he would be. And so Joseph was not the physical father of Jesus, because Jesus didn't have a physical father. The Holy Spirit was his father. But Joseph was the legal father of Jesus, as recognized by both the civil law and the law of Moses. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, it says of Mary, "And the angel said to her, Rejoice, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And then the angel Gabriel explained to Mary what was going to happen, that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Christ, the Messiah. And all of these things are going to happen. And in there it says then in chapter 1 and verse 38 of Luke, it says, "Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." So Mary gave her consent for herself to be the mother of the Christ, the Messiah. And so they came to the temple according to the requirement of the law of Moses under which they lived, to offer the sacrifice and to dedicate the firstborn male child of the family to God. And this was done, you read through the Old Testament, and this was done on a number of occasions. There were a number of occasions of this going on. I thought for a moment, for example, of Samuel the prophet. He was dedicated by his mother because he was the first at the temple, because he was the firstborn male child of the family. And so that was they were carrying on that law that God required of them. But we look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, and it says then, and introduces us to Simeon. And this is the only time in the Bible that Simeon is mentioned, incidentally. Simeon, it says, verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon was a priest of God at the temple in Jerusalem. And so the Holy Spirit was there and was upon him. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for this prophecy of the Old Testament to be fulfilled, that the Messiah would come, the Christ, the King, was going to be born into this world. So he was waiting for that to happen. And so he is very dedicated to God because he was there at the temple. He was serving as a priest there at that time. And it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. In other words, the Spirit was revealing these things to him. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Holy Spirit explained and brought the message to Simeon the priest that he was not going to die. We don't know exactly how old he was, but evidently he was well along in years. And he would die, but he was not going to die before he was allowed the privilege of seeing the one that was going to be the Christ, the Messiah, that he would be born into the world. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. In other words, this was one of the works of the priests that were serving at the temple. When a child was brought in and the sacrifice was to be made, that the priest would receive the child into his arms and bless the child, and of course offer the sacrifice for the parents, so the child would be dedicated to God. So he was dedicated to the Lord, and of course it says of Simeon, he was a man that was just and he was devout. Just and righteous are the same thing. He was a righteous man. He was faithful to God. And he was also one that was devout. The word devout means very dedicated and dedicated to religious and faithful things, especially to God, as we understand the term. So that's the kind of man Simeon was. So he didn't just wander into the temple off the street or something. He was a very dedicated man. And later on, you read in the same chapter of Anna the prophetess, who lived right there by the temple and was there serving all of the time. And so God chose people who were dedicated to reveal to people around them who this child was going to be. He was looking for the consolation of Israel, meaning the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, when the fullness or the complete time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman and born under the law. So this is the fulfillment of that prophecy that went all the way back to the book of Genesis, when God first foretold in the Garden of Eden that there would come one that would be this fulfillment of his opportunity for salvation of mankind. The Holy Spirit told him he would not die before he saw the Messiah, the Christ. And I think about that for a moment. What a great blessing it was. Here is a man that had been dedicated to God for all of his life. He was serving as a priest at the temple. And he knew, he didn't know when he was going to die probably, but he knew it was probably not going to be much longer. We don't know the situation, why it was. He might have been ill, or what, something else might have been wrong. Or he just might have been old enough that time was going to catch up with him. But the Holy Spirit said, you will not die. I'll allow you to live until you've seen the Lord's Christ. In other words, the Lord's anointed. That's what the word Christ means. the anointed one of God, the Christ, the Messiah, that was going to come. And so he had not seen death before that. Also, he was in the temple for the sacrifices that were required under the law of Moses. And as I said before, one of the works of the priests, that's the priests that were serving at the temple at that time, and all of the time, there was a rotation of different priests that would be there at different times of the year. Well, Simeon was chosen to be one, the one to be there at that time. And so he was there in the temple, and it was the job of the priest, as I said, to take the baby in his arms and to bless the child and to call down God's blessing upon him and to receive the sacrifice from the parents of the child to dedicate him to God. And so that's what he did. Now, Luke chapter 2 and verse 28 says he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And then he said, and this is what Simeon said during this time, and he was saying this by direction of the Holy Spirit. This was God's message to the people around and for Simeon to say to them, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. And this was Simeon's message. It was also Simeon's prayer over the baby Jesus as he was holding Jesus in his arms. He said, Lord, now let you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. So it was according to the word of God. In other words, Simeon is saying to God in that sense, I'm now ready to die. I've seen what you have told me I would be able to see. I have seen the greatest thing in my life that I've been waiting for all of this time. And now he says, let me depart in peace. I'm ready for that. I'm ready to go because now I have seen this salvation that you have brought into the world. Now, it's interesting to me to think that he not only was allowed to see the Christ that was going to come, but he didn't really know and understand what was going to happen with this child later on. Now, it's what he says in a moment is going to be interesting concerning the things that he, in a sense, prophesied of what Christ was going to be. But he says, now let your servant, and I'm satisfied now, I can die, and I can die knowing that God, you have fulfilled your promise. Verse 29, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, it wasn't just seeing the child, but he says, I see this salvation that you are going to bring to them. And so, he may not have fully understood completely the idea of what the Christ, the Messiah, was going to be. But he knew from the time all the way back to the book of Genesis and all the way through the several thousand years of the Old Testament, God had prophesied that this time was coming. And he was chosen to be one of those who could actually see this one. He says there in verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation. The salvation that is promised from God to Israel, the people of Israel, through first of all through Adam, as it was spoken to him in the Garden of Eden, and then to Abraham, and then to Moses, and the prophets, and all the way to the coming of Christ. He must have been overjoyed to find that he was able to see this Messiah, this Christ, even though he was just a very small child at the time. And also what had been foretold already. Well, again, we go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph, he said, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So when the angel appeared to Joseph, the angel told Joseph, go ahead and take her as your wife. Marry her because she is going to be the mother of the Messiah. And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. And the name Joshua means Savior. And so he is going to save his people from their sins. So even the name of Jesus has a meaning to it. and the fulfillment of God's plan. But we look now over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel also appeared to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. It's interesting because Mary was also of the house of David. Now they were in different lines of that house, in different parts of that lineage, but they were both descendants of King David. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. I can imagine just barely what an understatement this passage must have been. It says she was troubled at the matter. I imagine she was much more than what we would say troubled. But she was maybe even terrified at an angel suddenly appearing to her. She'd never seen an angel before. She didn't know what was happening. But he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." I cannot even begin to imagine what Mary must have thought on this occasion. All she could say is, "Be it done unto me as the Lord had said." So she accepted the opportunity to be the mother of the Christ, the Messiah, upon the earth. Now we go back to what Simeon said, verse 31. Verse 30 says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people." That's important. It's important what it says there. Because Simeon, I suspect, did not really understand all that he was saying there. Your salvation, is going to be for all people. Now, then if we go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham, or Abram as he was known at the time. And I think we read this morning, but we're going back to it again, because it has to do with the thing we're talking about here. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in your family, all the families of the earth will be blessed." All the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, maybe it didn't, Abraham did not understand it fully then. But turn over now to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, and we begin reading at verse 1. It says, "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make a covenant with me and with you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you, also to give you and to your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you your descendants after you throughout your generations." And so he says then, this is the covenant I have made. And this is the early days of the Old Testament, and now Simeon is allowed to see the fulfillment of what God promised Abraham approximately 2,000 years earlier. Verse 31 says, the salvation which you prepared before the face of all people. But it was fulfilled in Christ. And it was not just the Israelites or the Jews, as most of them were called by that time, but it was for all people. And I suspect that Simeon didn't really understand fully the context or the idea that God was giving to him. And then in Acts chapter 3 and verse 24, the Apostle Peter said there, "All the prophets from Samuel and those who followed, as many as have spoken, have also foretold of these days." So it was not just for one people, it's for all people of all time. But all the prophets from Samuel and from that day forward, as Peter is talking about it there, foretold of these days, the days in which the Christ, the Messiah, was going to be born. And so that's what Simeon says, "You have prepared which you have prepared before the face of all people." Not just the Jews, but all people. And of course, it takes time later for Peter himself to see a miracle performed, for Peter to see that the Gentiles are also acceptable for the gospel. And that's all the way over in Acts chapter 10, where it is done. But he's to be, look at verse 32 there. He says, "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now again, I doubt that Simeon fully understood this, because Peter and the apostles didn't, even after the day of Pentecost. They didn't understand it until Peter received a special revelation from God. And yet, turn over for a moment to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Acts 2 and verse 37. Peter had spoken to the people on that day, as well as the other apostles had done. And it says in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" They had crucified the Son of God. They needed to know what to do about it. And so verse 38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So they were to repent and believe, of course, because they already did, because they asked the question. And he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by his authority, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But he didn't stop there. The result then, in verse 39, is, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." Peter did not understand what he said right there. We know he didn't, because he had to have a special revelation later to show him that the Gentiles were acceptable to God. We go back to Simeon. "A light to bring the revelation to the Gentiles and a glory of your people Israel." So it was going to be the glory of Israel, a light to the Gentiles that had never received the light of God in this way before. But it was going to happen. Now in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" So it's open to everyone. So we look then at Simeon, what he said to them, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory of your people Israel." But no, he did not stop there. Look at verse 33. "And Joseph and Mary, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Now they were amazed at what they were hearing, that what Simeon had said about them. Verse 34, "Then Simeon blessed them." So the priest here blessed the child, offered their sacrifices, accepted them, offered them, And then he blessed them. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, I doubt that Mary and Joseph understood this part either. But obviously, this is a reference to the idea of the suffering and death of Christ that was going to come. Many in Israel would receive him, but many would reject him. And so it was going to happen. But he was faithful to God. And so he had the privilege of seeing this Messiah, this Christ that was going to be born, and of the blessing that was going to come, that first had come upon him to be able to seeing the Messiah, and then upon the Christ child himself, as he would be the Christ, the Messiah, and then the blessing upon Joseph and Mary for having been the parents of this Christ child that was going to be born. And so we turn over now to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." The coming of Christ was the manifestation of God's grace to you and me. Christ came and shed his blood and died so we could have eternal life. The grace came teaching us, verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So here's what our responsibility is. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Simeon looked for the coming of Christ the first time, and he was allowed to see Jesus the child before he grew up and became the Messiah in the way we think of him. But he still saw the Savior because of what God has done for us. We look for him to come back again. This time he will not come as a child, but he says we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people zealous for good works. Speak these things and exhort and rebuke with all authority. So that's the message that he gave to Titus. He says the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That salvation and that grace came through Christ. We have to believe it. We have to obey it, as they did on the day of Pentecost. And when we do, the grace of God is there upon us, and we look for Christ coming again. Now this evening, if you do need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.